Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter, and if you do it quickly, we'll send you. You'll be able to get not only the current edition of the newsletter, but you'll also get the Labor Day special edition that includes my article, my rantings and ravings on Labor Day, and why I think if there's going to be a Labor Day, there ought to be a Small Business Day. And somebody who I know agrees with me on that is our good friend Bert Folsom, professor at Hillsdale College in Hillsdale, Michigan. He's the author of The Myth of the Robber Barons and Empire Builders, among other books. He's the resident historian of our Brain Trust, and he's our good friend Bert Folsom. Welcome back to the show. Happy Labor Day.
Thank you, Jim. It's good to be here, and once again on Labor Day and talking about a good holiday in our history.
Yeah. Bert, tell us, and I thanks to you, thanks to the to some of the things that you've taught us over the years, I would like to get you to give us a little tour of how Labor Day got its origins.
Right. It has kind of a murky origin. We know that either Matthew McGuire or Peter McGuire was interested in putting a day aside to help those and honor those who work with their hands, as Peter McGuire said, who have from rude nature have delved and carved all the grandeur that we behold. And
by the way, those guys were not related. They spell their names differently.
They spell their names differently. Either the Knights of Labor or the Central Labor Union appear to have been involved. But the first Labor Day that we know was celebrated Tuesday, September 5th, 1882, in New York City. And it was not long after that before it became a national holiday. Other states sort of became involved, and by 1890 we had 20 or so states that had an official Labor Day, and then after the Pullman strike, President Cleveland signed a notice creating a national holiday for Labor Day, and so really for the last 110 years, it's been a federal holiday.
You know, Bert. Ray was last half hour. By the way, Bert and Ray are friends too, so I
yes.
don't think Bert doesn't mind if I actually call him Ray.
I don't mind being confused with Ray Keating.
Bert. Some of the things that you've taught us over the years in joining us on Labor Day and other areas that I think is interesting is that not that Labor Day wouldn't have become a national holiday ultimately anyway, but it only became a national holiday when it did because of a reaction to something, and not because it actually, you know, had made its progress through the system and finally built to the kind of a movement that made it the logical thing to do. It was because of the Pullman strike and the government's reaction to it. But the point I was going to make is something else that you taught us, is it's not unlike how the minimum wage got started. Minimum wage wasn't started, as you've taught us, Bert, because of some great altruistic feeling politicians have for workers. Bert, tell us why the minimum wage got started.
Right. It was started, really, the textile industry was the key industry. It was started because northern textile owners, especially in Massachusetts, were unhappy that their textile companies were moving south because of the lower wages that could be paid and the more competitive labor system in the south, the more availability. And so in order to stop that, the idea is you create a minimum wage, and then southern laborers would not be able to offer on the market the cheaper labor, and then the textile industries would not move to the south.
Well, and I call that after your education Bert, I call that the second NAFTA. The first NAFTA was when those jobs came from England to the New England. The second NAFTA was when they went from New England to the South. The third NAFTA was what we call what many call the first NAFTA, which is when those jobs went from the South to Mexico. And okay. Now, in less than 10 years, those jobs have left Mexico primarily, and they're now in Asia. That's the fourth NAFTA.
Right. It's really interesting, isn't it?
So if you put that, if you kind of look at it like that, you realize that those jobs really don't belong to anybody. They don't belong to any nation. They belong to the workers that can best perform them for the price that's the right to pay for those jobs.
Well, that's a good point. I think you make good distinctions there.
Well, thanks to my mentor and educator, Bert Folsom, the author of The Myth of the Robber Barons and Empire Builders. He and I will be back right after these messages. It's 20 Tales. Stay with us.
And then the man is dead, right up to the microphone. Say that it lasts just as the time bell rings.
Listen to the wind blow.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. By the way, thank you for those of you who have emailed me requesting the flag that Bob Dillenschneider offered last hour. If you remember, Bob Dillenschneider offered to send free of charge this new 911 flag. It's the Voices of September 11th. It has the names of all those people killed on 911 on the flag. It's a full-size flag. I've got one. He sent me one of them. And if you still want one of them, Bob's going to, I mean, this is a $20 flag plus shipping. Bob's going to send it to you free. He's a great American. And all you got to do, this is an offer that nobody else has in the world except through this show. All you got to do is email us your name and address and say, please send me the flag. Now, understand that I'm only asking for your address. We're not going to spam you. I'm not going to sign you up for my newsletter unless you want to be. We're not going to mail you anything except the flag, but we have to have that address to send the flag. So if you do it, some of you have asked for the flag, but you didn't send your address, so I need you to do that. But still giving that offer, ask Jim at jbsba.com, and then we'll get that flag out to you. And thank you for doing that. I appreciate it. Bert Folsom is with us. He's with Hillsdale College. That's an interesting little school up there in Hillsdale, Michigan, isn't it, Bert?
Very interesting. It's unique, Jim, because it takes no federal aid. It costs the taxpayers nothing to exist and to operate and to educate 1,200 students. We have been in existence for 160 years and have not taken any federal money, and we don't intend to.
And you put wisdom into the little minds of those students. Total of how many students at that school?
1,200 total. We have about 300 or 400 in each freshman class, so it's about 1,200 total.
And a big football team, I'm sure.
Yes. Beating bigger schools. We even play Division II football.
Really?
Yeah, it's true.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
We opened with a victory over the University of Indianapolis, so we're playing bigger schools, and Grand Valley State, Saginaw Valley State, the teams that won the Division II title in the last couple
of
years.
Wow, yeah, I know that team.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
So it's always
it's amazing what you can do when the government's out of the way, isn't it? it even helps football, apparently, ladies and gentlemen. Bert, the thing that we're talking about NAFTA a minute ago.
Right.
And the thing that blows me away is how some people are stuck on how they just can't seem to get their heads around a global labor market. They still want to blame somebody. They still believe that jobs belong to us, that jobs belong to the United States. When we work in the global market, if they don't get it through their heads, that jobs don't belong to anybody. For example, Bert, there are people that I know, and some of them are write for newspapers, who still believe that all we got to do to fix the job situation in America is to repeal NAFTA. So their idea is, let's go to Mexico, let's repeal NAFTA, go to Mexico and bring those jobs back to America. Well, what they're going to find out, they're going to get a shock when they go to Mexico, because those jobs aren't in Mexico anymore.
Right, they'll have to go to Asia and Africa and elsewhere.
In less than 10 years, they've moved on.
Well, you're right. It's an idea that because we do a certain job, the idea that goes with that, Jim, is often that there's a certain price that that job ought to command, a certain wage that is automatic for that job. And you have to be the most competitive laborer to earn the right to have that job. And as you pointed out, there's no place that automatically ought to be able to claim those jobs.
Just as we humans are passing through this life and on this earth, and that we take possession for a little while, and then it goes to those who come behind us.
That's right.
Just as that happens, labor is the same thing, is the same way. I like to think of labor, especially these days, especially in the 21st century, as a wave of human capital, the human effort, as a wave, and a system of waves, I should say. And each wave has a different responsibility, a different skill level, skill requirement. And those waves are washing over the earth right now, aren't they?
Well, they are, and you can see why labor unions are in decline, because there's no way to guarantee certain jobs in certain places at certain prices.
In the last 20 years, Ray Keating just told us they've been cut in half.
Yes, it's something like 13%.
Now Ray says non-government, 8.2%.
Oh, remarkable.
He's got new numbers.
That's incredible. And, you know, that opens up a lot for people to produce the best product they can at the cheapest price that they can. And it's a real boon for consumers.
Well, and see, that's the thing that the people who complain about outsourcing don't include in their balance discussion, because there is no balance in their discussion. And that is how the standard of living, the labor waves that I just talked about, create an increased standard of living for Americans, doesn't it?
Well, it means that we can, as the prices for products decline, that we can buy more of those products. If we look at the furnishing of the average American home today and 30 years ago and 60 years ago, they're flat out. There's more in our house. There's more of value in our house. And that reflects a lot of the competition that exists to produce products and sell them to us.
And more people can afford some of the cool things that are available. But just take a shirt. Just a plain golf shirt that by inflationary standards, if nothing had changed over the last 20 years, we'd be paying $200 for a golf shirt. Now we buy really nice shirts for $30.
That's right.
It improves our standard of living. That's just one example. Tintail, stay with us. We'll be right back. Bert Folsom is our guest. He's the author of The Myth of the Robber Barons. Back at 7:10, I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, having more fun than the law allows, with our good friend Bert Folsom, professor of history at Hillsdale College, the resident historian of the Small Business Advocate Show, for which he draws an enormous salary.
And I do.
And also,
I hardly need to teach with my salary with you, Jim.
You barely need to, don't you?
But I do it for fun. Teach for fun and work for you.
That's right. Empire Builders, ladies and gentlemen, how Michigan entrepreneurs helped make America great. That's one of his books. And now which one has been re-released?
The Myth of the Robber Barons is now in its fourth edition. Yes, right.
Right. I've got the third edition. And, folks, that lets you know what kind of a book it is. And when something comes out in its fourth edition, that tells you that it's a very important book, The Myth of the Robber Barons. And then you've got a new book that you're working on, and we're looking forward to launching that on the show in a year or so.
Yes, I'm hoping to get a book on Franklin Roosevelt and the New Deal. It's really a time when a lot went wrong in this economy, and we began to look more toward government solutions to problems that previously we successfully resolved without the use of government. And how we entered into that transition and began to go down a wrong path and look more to the taxpayer dollars to solve problems rather than private enterprise dollars is an interesting story, and I hope to tell it and get a book out in a year or so.
Well, I'm looking forward to reading it and to launching it on this show. That'll be an important book as well. Bert, what is your give us your thoughts on the future of labor in not in America, but in the world? Because we can't talk about labor in terms of geography much anymore, can we?
No, it's more and more a global market. Of course, it's always been more of a global market than some people think. But, of course, with the Internet and such today,
it's just moving faster, isn't it?
It is, and it simply means that people have to be more creative. Sometimes there's a tendency when you talk about labor to look at the negative side and say, my gosh, I have competition for what I produce. But the good side is all the creativity and all the imagination you can use to create markets and to create jobs that didn't exist before. Look at eBay and all the Internet ways of selling things that didn't exist before. Those are opportunities for people. These changes are times for opportunities.
Well, it is, and I'll tell you something else, Bert, and I really back way up on this one and take a real macro view on this. In my opinion, the more we share labor globally, the more we do business with each other globally, the more we democratize commerce, meaning you mentioned eBay, any kind of e-commerce. More and more small business owners are thinking international and not so much just national. The more we democratize commerce around the globe, Bert, and I'm thinking century here. I'm thinking 21st century, not 2004. The more we do that, that is a peace dividend that is waiting to be harvested because, in my opinion, I still believe in something that Frédéric Bastiat said, the great French economist and comedian. He said, when goods cross borders, armies don't. And I believe when goods cross borders, values go with them.
Well, those can certainly be strong ties that bring countries together and cause them to think of what they have in common rather than what separates them.
Well, and you laughed when I called Bastiat a comedian. He is a funny guy, wasn't he?
Well, I like a lot of what he said. I mean, he talked about taxing the sun and the candle maker. And he's the one who came up with the broken window fallacy that helped Henry Hazlitt sell 1 million copies of his great book, Economics in One Lesson.
Right. Yeah, he was a good guy. But I do believe that we could be on the precipice of an incredible century, Bert, don't you think so?
Well, there's reason to be optimistic. There are a lot of good things happening, and we ought to, as you do, talk about those good things and try to make them a reality.
Well, I call it an honest debate about jobs, not a protectionist debate about jobs.
Right.
That's the difference. Ray, Bert, I keep calling you our friend Ray. Bert,
well, Ray and I have a lot in common.
I know,
so that's good.
But well, and I keep quoting him, and I quote you whenever he's here too. Bert, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always.
Jim, thank you.
Appreciate you your steadfast support of all we do.
Well, I am definitely a supporter of what you do.
Burton W. Folsom Jr., ladies and gentlemen, the author of The Myth of the Robber Barons, now in its fourth edition. He'll be back. Thanks, Bert. See you later.
Goodbye, Jim.
By the way, folks, when next you hear me, I will be in Washington, D.C. I'm going to be up there broadcasting with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. I'm going to be helping them out, especially on Wednesday. I'm going to be moderating a panel for them at their big soiree up there. So that's tomorrow and the next day, I'll be in Washington. I'll see you then. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks for joining me. Happy Labor Day.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.